Sure. All right, so let's get started over here. We're holding on Chochmah Bay's third line. Chochmah Bay's third line. Okay, because the fact is, Barach Malach Amasa, Hashem has Rachmanus on all his creatures.
So what did it have to do with
it? It had to do with us, but therefore that was part of the reason why the Rebbe was sort of among the reasons to be against the peace process, not just that it was costing Jewish lives, but that it was costing Goyish lives also. All right, let's go along. Okay. Omar, we learned in the Braisa, so we were discussing yesterday Chochmah Bay. So we were discussing yesterday the Braisa, that how we know which thing, Omar, Shemayani, third line. We discussed yesterday a Braisa, we brought yesterday a Braisa and started analyzing it, how we know which things that are offered on the Mizbeah have to have salt on them and which things do not. We ended up saying that everything that's brought on the Mizbeah has to have salt placed on it, except for, we said, dam and asin, except for blood of korbanos, and except for wood that's brought to the korban. But now let's get into that. Omar, and what we said is like this. We had two different things. We had a klal of proper klal, which told us that anything that has to have salt on it has to be in some way similar to a mincha. We ended up saying, therefore, that that means it could be similar to a mincha in one of two ways. Either that it requires wood to burn it, which therefore excludes wood, and which therefore excludes wood and dam. But we said, because you don't need wood to burn wood, and you don't need wood for the dam, because it's sprinkled on the mizbeach, it's not burnt. Then we said, we also have the wood minchascha, which implies, but not dam. We said, because otherwise we would have said dam has a different similarity with a mincha, in that dam is a matir, just as the koimus of a mincha is a matir. So we ended up saying, in other words, there are two different limudim that told us that dam and eitzim are excluded. One, we're excluding eitzim for the fact they're not similar to a mincha at all. They're neither a matir nor do they require wood to burn them. And we excluded dam on the basis of the word mincha. Okay, so Omamar, and we learned in a Braisa, Shemeyani Afilo Eitzim Adam, if you only had the word korban, the whole korban should be salted, then you would think it means even wood and dam, Shemikru korban, which are called a korban. So we have to figure out, does everybody agree that wood is called a korban? Man Shamat Leidama Eitzim Ikri korban, which Tana do you find that holds that wood is called a korban? That is Rebbe. Only Rebbe holds that. Well then, the Rebbe Miboya Bo Melach. Well, as a matter of fact, according to Rebbe, if you bring wood to the korban, you do in fact have to salt it. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, when the pasuk says korban, milamech nisnadvin eitzim, from that we learn that you can donate wood to the Beis Hamikdash as a korban by itself, v'kama, and how much would be the minimum amount that you have to bring, shnei gizrin, two logs of wood, which is the minimum amount, just as you have every day, the Kohenim have to bring two logs of wood on the Mizbeach. Besides the fact that you have every day, of course, they set up a pile of wood on the Mizbeach to have the fire lit, and you actually have a few piles of wood on the Mizbeach. There's a particular thing that every day during the Korban Tumid, Shal Shachar, and during the Korban Tumid, Shal Ben Habayim, they have to bring two pieces of wood separately to put on the fire. In the morning, they're carried by one Kohen, in the afternoon, they're carried by two Kohen, and whatever. The dimensions of the wood are an amma, and we learned in Zvachim, an amma long, an amma wide, and the thickness of kemachat godesh shal saw, the thickness of the piece of wood that they would use to smooth out a saw measure of when they measure wheat or whatever and put it in a saw container, they'd use a piece of wood afterwards to smooth it out. So that's the amount. So it's really more, yes. As a matter of fact, actually, you have some of the Mephoshim point out that maybe that was only the size for the ones in the Mizbeach in the desert, where the Makom HaMa'aracha was only an amma by an amma. Maybe in the Beit Mikdash, where the Mizbeach was much larger and the wood pile was much larger, maybe the pieces of wood have to be correspondingly longer in order to, yeah. Okay. You always have to have wood on the Mizbeach. And in particular, I mean, they had a whole chamber in the Beit Mikdash where they stored wood, the Lishkas HaEitzim. But what we're saying is every day when they bring the Korban Tumid, twice a day, there's also a mitzvah to bring two pieces of wood on the Mizbeach. Shnei Gizrei Eitzim. So therefore, by the same token, when a person is... Yeah, so therefore, by the same token, when a person is being menadev wood to the Mizbeach, then the minimum is two pieces. So we find that Eitzim are called a korban. Namely, you have a pasuk in Nehemiah, where it describes how different families now they made a girdle to determine which families are going to bring wood to the Beit Hamikdash at different times of year. So there we see that Eitzim are called a korban. Rebbe Omer Eitzim Korban Minchaim. So Rebbe says specifically, Eitzim are not just any old korban; they're like a korban mincha, which unin melach. So therefore, like a korban mincha, they require salt, which unin agosha, and you have to do agosha. You have to touch the container containing the wood to the mezeach, just like you would with any korban mincha. The Amar Rava, and Rava says furthermore, the Divrei Rebbe Eitzim Shonen Knissa. Furthermore, Rava says, according to Rebbe, the wood actually requires knitza. Yeah, you really have to treat it. You really have to treat it. What? You really have to treat it like a korban mincha. In other words, what you have to do is, therefore, you have to break some of that wood into splinters, into small pieces, and then the kohen takes a kohen to it just like you would from a mincha. I guess you have to be careful not to get splinters in his fingers, but yeah. What? So therefore, so after you would do that, you'd take a koimitz from it, you'd boon it on the mizbeach, right. And then, now on the face, it, now the question... I don't know that Shimshon Agiba wouldn't get splintered also, but alright, whatever. Okay. Yeah, okay, come on. Fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Now the question... Yeah, okay, you're right, it's fine. They'd have to take sandpaper or whatever. Yeah, they'd have to take, I don't know, however they do it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Now, on the face of it, what that means is then the rest of the wood is burnt on the mizbeach, which leads Tosfos to ask, in that case, why are you taking the koimetz from it? Shouldn't it be like a mincha that's brought by a kohen or whatever, where you don't take a koimetz from it, you just burn the whole thing on the mizbeach?
Take the koimetz of wood and then what?
And then they burn it on the mizbeach. Now, on the face of it, the rest of it, they're also burning on the mizbeach. So Tosfos says that, okay, you find such a thing. Rav Shimon says later on Armasechta that, in fact, certain times that a kohen brings a mincha, you do, in fact, do that. You do take, unlike we've been learning all this time in the Masechta, that when a kohen brings a korban, you don't take a koimetz from it at all. You just burn the whole thing on the mizbeach. But Rav Shimon says later on, in the 7th Perek, he says that, yes, when a kohen brings a mincha kohen, you do. You take a separate koimetz from it, you burn it on the mizbeach, and then you burn the rest of the shidayim the same way. So he could say the same thing as far as wood over here. You have different rishonim, have different opinions on the subject, whether it means that you actually burn the rest of the wood on the mizbeach, or does it mean that you put the rest of the wood in the storage area where the wood is supposed to go. You even have an opinion, I think Rabbeinu Gershom says this, that the rest of the wood would be divided among the kohenim, and they could use it for whatever purposes they want. It's like you divide the rest of a korban mincha among the kohenim. Okay. Anyway, so therefore, so you see that according to Rebbe, a korban mincha requires salt. And according to Rebbe, it also requires knissa, so it's very much like a korban mincha. The Amar Rav Papa, you have the Aleph Kuf over here, but it's a printer's mistake. It's supposed to be Amar Rav Papa. Maybe in your Gemara, maybe it says it correctly. In mine, it has it wrong. Vav Aleph Resh. Okay, in mine, it has Vav Aleph Kuf. Anyway, the Amar Rav Papa, the Divrei Rebbe, Eitzim Tzrichim Eitzim. And in fact, the Papa says, according to Rebbe, the wood itself, when you're burning it on the Mizbeach, you have to have other wood there in order to burn it. So the bottom line is, according to Rebbe, a korban eitzim is 100% like a korban mincha. I mentioned yesterday, by the way, that there's a sicha in Pesach Yudayim where it ever analyzes the whole. No, but that's fine. But the fact that it says benefesh kisaku is korban mincha implies that you can have not just a mincha, but also a person can bring a korban of wood. That's because of the fact that it says korban, the fact that it says korban. And the fact that we see that in a pasuk in Nehemiah, wood is called a korban, that leads us to say, therefore. So in other words, the base... But in this case, kind of gilui milk of alma, it's informing us, what is the definition of a korban? It includes wood. When the pasuk says, in Parshas Vayikra, korban mincha, then it includes also wood. So you have actually, I mentioned yesterday, there's a sicha where the Rebbe analyzes this whole issue of Rebbe versus the Chachamim and the different opinions of the Rishonim, what exactly is done when you bring a korban eitzim anyway, is that the wood itself is offered on the mizbeach, is that you have to bring another korban with it, and there's a whole nigla sicha where the Rebbe analyzes the whole thing in great detail. Among other things, he points out that what it is Rebbe in general holds, not just here, but the Rebbe brings examples from each of the six Dorim of Shas that you find where Rebbe holds when you have something that's when you're calling something by a certain name, like in this case you're calling it a korban eitzim, then it means it has to and we're learning it from a korban mincha, then it has to be in every detail like it. That's why Rebbe is saying it needs knissa and it needs salt and it needs wood and so forth. And Tosfos points out it would also have to be done with the right hand, it would have to be placed in the kli sharis, etc. Whereas the Chachamim say, okay, you can bring a korban of wood, fine, but it's not exactly similar. There'll still be certain differences.
You can bring any wood?
Well, it would have to be wood that's suitable to be brought on the mizbeach. You can't bring, just like a korban, you can't bring an animal that's a baal mum, or you can't bring flour that's spoiled or wormy or whatever. The same thing, the wood can't be wormy either.
But, okay, sorry.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
but yeah. Anyway, the point is that according to Rebbe, the Mishnah in Talmud mentions in principle they can use any wood except from grapevines and olive trees, Mishum Yishu of Eretz Yisrael, because you don't want the trees of Eretz Yisrael to be destroyed. However, in practice, they tended to use certain kinds. The Mishnah mentions over there they would use wood from fig trees, they would use wood from shifma trees, which is another type of fig, sycamore is called in English, whatever. They had certain types that they would
tend to regrow every year.
Well, some, I don't know if it's so much that they would regrow every year, but more that these kinds of wood. Well, the fig trees, the Gemara explains over there, they would have to be ones that aren't producing very much fruit. But whatever, the point is, these are kinds of wood that burn well,
In Midbar
they use whatever wood they bought from merchants, I don't know. Anyway, let's go on. Anyway, let's go on. The point is, according to Rebbe,
the wood came only from Israel, not from Lebanon.
The Pashto come from anywhere, I don't know. The point is, according to Rebbe, that wood is very much exactly like a carbon mincha. In particular, it needs salt. So you're telling me, we said before, that you want to say that when it says carbon, you would think it means wood, and blood also requires salt, and you're saying no because of the chal of prati chal and because of the word minchasa, but then it doesn't work. According to the Chachamim, it wouldn't work because wood is not really called a carbon. And according to Rebbe, you hold that wood is called a carbon, it does need salt. So the brayta doesn't work, according to your opinion. Oil or something else. Oil, the pastures would need salt. No. Because it's the same way. If you find a carbon mincha, you just find carbonous mincha that are brought without oil. You have a mincha toast, for example. Okay. The answer is shmimi kan esim. You're right. You have to delete wood from the brayta. So therefore, the only thing we're being mamayit. The question is, what are we bringing wood in there? According to the Chachamim, that wood is not really considered a carbon. Sure, you can bring wood, because they agree. The fact is, the pasuk does say carbonate them, but they don't hold it's really considered a carbon. They hold it's more like machshire carbon. You bring something that'll assist in bringing the carbonus. So therefore, according to them, of course it doesn't need salt. It's not called a carbon. And according to Rebbe, that it's called a carbon. It needs salt. So monoshach, then, how is the Braita telling us that wood is called a carbon, but it doesn't need salt? So the answer is shmimikan esim. You're right. You have to delete the word wood from the braisa, and therefore, on the face of it, it means the only thing we're being mamai is blood. Well, then the question is, we had two miotim before, we had a klal of prophet klal, and we had the word minchosa. So what are we being mamai? From the word minchosa. So we said it down. One is excluding wood, the other is excluding dam. If you're telling me that wood is not in the picture anyway, then fine. We exclude dam from the word, from the klal of prophet klal, the elakrolim otimai. But what is the word minchosa coming to exclude? Elam otidam is what are we excluding from the klal of prophet klal, rather? If we're excluding blood, ma'al minchosa. Now, for that, you have some word in minchosa, which we said minchosa means not domcha. The answer is, it's not that you delete wood entirely and don't put anything instead of it. Afik eitzim v'ayom nesachim. What it is you take out wood and instead insert nesachim that come with a carbon. Those do not require salt. The Tanya, as in fact, we learn meaning exactly what it sounds like. When you bring a carbon and you bring nesachim, you bring a mixture of flour and oil together with it as a mincha, as well as wine, those things do not require salt. The Tanya, as in fact, we learn in a braisa, or maybe the mincha that comes with it does need salt, but the wine doesn't need salt. The wine that comes in the stocking with a car, no, we wouldn't have known it until now. No? The wood, so we're saying, according to Chachamim, wood wouldn't need salt, and according to Rebbe, it would. The Tanya, as we learn in a braisa, avala yayin, but the wine that comes with a carbon, the hadam and the blood, the ha'asim, the ha'kturus, and wood and ptarus, ain ton and melach, those things don't require salt. Now, the question now becomes, with this new braisa, who is this braisa like between Rebbe and the Chachamim? Rebbe, if you're going to tell me the braisa is like a Chachamim, Pasha Eitzim, then you have a problem with wood. We just established that according to Rebbe, if you bring wood as a carbon, it does have to be salted. The braisa here is mentioning that you don't have to put salt on wood.
So who's the
Rabbanon, and if you're going to tell me that the braisa is according to the Rabbanon, Pasha Keturus, then you have a problem with Keturus. Because we said before that according to the Rabbanon, in the Braisa that we brought on Chof Amar Aleph, the basic price that we're bringing over there, what needs salt and what doesn't. We said that anything that requires something else with it, in this case, Keteridus needs wood in order to burn it, requires salt. Well, then why should Keteridus be excluded? We said on Chof Amaralis, we said that the rule was anything that has, and we had a long brice over there, where we said that anything, Shacherim Boin Chovala, anything where you have something else is required to come with it in order to burn it, then it needs salt. So in that case, yes.
So that was all the way over.
It means everything that has something else that requires that's required to come in. Keteridus needs wood in order to burn it. So therefore it needs salt. So what are you telling me?
And then we would know that Rabbi and the
Chacham. Okay, you're right. Okay, but we could argue maybe Rabbi disagrees with that Braisa before, because before we mentioned wood and here, yeah.
Really,
fine, but the point, that's the point. So why shouldn't Keteridus need salt? What is this last Braisa that we just quoted saying, Abla Yayin va dam va eitzim va Keteridus ein torn and mela? According to Rabbi, wood that you bring as a korban does need salt, and according to the Chachamim, Keteridus should need salt. So who is this Braisa like? The answer is Hai Tanahu. The answer is this last Braisa that we just quoted is according to the following Tanah, the Tanah, Rabbi Shmuel ben Yosher Rabbi Yechon ben Brei Kohen. We have a third opinion about how, now this is a different opinion about how we learn. Yesterday we said we have a klal of prophet klal regarding how we know what needs salt and what doesn't. We learned that the klal of prophet klal is anything that is similar to a mincha in that it requires dover achar choyver imay, that requires something else, namely word. That was the one on Chof HaMinalos, yes. Now Rabbi Shmuel, Ben Yosher, Rabbi Yechon ben Brei has a different understanding of how we learn the prophet. He says, Maha Prat Mefurash, what do we have specified about the Prat, which is a Korban Mincha? Dover Shemakabal Tuma, number one, you have wood, not wood, a Korban Mincha is food, it's flour and oil, so it's capable of being the Kabal Tuma. But Oyla Le'ishim, number two, it's something that goes on the fire of the Mizbeach. Number three, the Yeshne on the Mizbeach HaChitlin. Number three, it's something that's burned on the Mizbeach HaChitlin, on the outer Mizbeach. Therefore, anything else that requires salt has to be in the same thing. Ach kol davar makabel tuma. Therefore, in order for something that goes on the mizbeach to require salt, it has to be something that's makabel tuma. V'oyla le'ishim, it has to be something that goes on the fire. V'yeshne amizbeach hachitzen, and it has to be something that goes on the mizbeach hachitzen. Therefore, we can exclude on that basis. Says Rabbi Shmuel, Moshe Rabbi Yechon ben Brei, there's a number of things we can exclude on that basis. Yosu Asim, so therefore Yosu Asim, so that excludes wood. She'ein Makabalim Tumah, because wood is not Makabal Tumah. Kalim made out of wood can be Makabal Tumah, but plain wood cannot. In fact, actually, Rashi points out from a Gemara in Tzachim that says that the wood that's brought on the Mizbeach can be Makabal Tumah. However, Rashi learned, because it's called Chivat HaKodesh, it's called because it's something of Hekdesh, therefore it's like extra special, it's extra precious, and therefore, so Rashi learns it's only Drabbanan. Rashi learns it's only Drabbanan, and therefore the Pasuk is only an Asmakta, even though it's only a Keli. Even though it's not a Keli, it's considered like food. Tosfos learns that actually this Chibat HaKodesh is Doraisa, but what we mean over here is that when it comes to wood, wood of Chulin cannot become Tomei. Only wood of Kodeshim, we're saying, can become Tomei Doraisa. However, a Mincha, if you have flour and oil, it can become Tomei if it's Chulin or if it's Kodeshim. So therefore, Tosfos learns that's what we mean by excluding wood. Wood becomes Tomei only if it belongs to Kodeshim, as opposed to flour and oil can become Tomei even if it's Chulin. Okay, anyway, that's how we exclude wood. So therefore, Rabbi Shmuel ben Yosher ben Yechon, because Tosfos learns that the Chibat HaKodesh concept is Doraisa on the basis of other Gemara. Rashi learns that it's Drabbanan. Okay, anyway, the point is we're excluding wood, therefore, because according to Rabbi Shmuel, Ben Yosher, Rabbi Yechon, and Breika, therefore, wood does not need, even if we say, like Rebbe, that wood is considered a korban, nevertheless, it does not require salt. Because, again, it's not similar to a mincha in that way, in that it's not the kabel tumah. Yosu dam v'yayin shein olam l'shim. We also exclude blood of a korban and wine that goes along with korban, because those don't go on the fire. Blood is sprinkled on the mizbeach. Wine is poured into the basins over there at the top of the mizbeach. Therefore, they don't need salt. And yosu k'turas shein al mizbeach hachitzin. And also, we exclude k'turas because k'turas is not offered on the mizbeach hachitzin. It's offered on the mizbeach inside, on the golden mizbeach. So therefore, when we said before in the Braisa that wine and blood and wood and Keteridus don't require salt, the Braisa at the top of our Amud knew that goes according to Rabbi Shmuel, but I should have yet. He excludes the Eitzim Vaksertis, because each of those things, Eitzim is excluded because it's not Makabel Tumah, Yayin and Dam are excluded because they don't go on the fire, and therefore they're not similar to it. The wine is poured into the basins on the corner of the Mizbeach over there, blood is sprinkled on the side of the Mizbeach. Yes, and Kurdish doesn't go on the outer Mizbeach, it goes on the inner Mizbeach.
Who is Rabbi
Yochanan Ben Brecha? Rabbi Shmuel Ben Yochanan Rabbi Yochanan Ben Brecha. Well, yeah, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Brecha is a Tana. He mentioned in Pirkei Avos and Rabbi Shmuel. No, that's Rabbi Shmuel Plain is Rabbi Shmuel Ben Elisha. Yeah.
Okay. Is he, which one's older?
Yeah. Rabbi Shmuel Ben Elisha, I think it's from the previous generation.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so that's why we exclude all those four things. By the way, though, I mean, it's interesting, you know, we're saying over here that Keturah doesn't require salt. What do we do with the fact, on the other hand, we say every day in davening, that you have salt that goes in the Keturah. So you have a great deal of discussion about that, also continuing the Gemara is going to talk about this. So you have a number of answers. One of them is it's an ingredient when you make it, but here we're talking about whether it has to be salted before you actually offer it. So therefore, the Chachamim can be saying that it does, and if it's small, Benoshi Rabbi Yechon and Bereka says it doesn't. You have a number of other answers, including one very interesting one is Tosfos in Christus says like this. How do we say it in the Siddur? We say like this. Bodas Kashina, Kadesh Shashokin Bodas Aparin, Kadesh Shayna, Yein Kafrit and Shashokin Bodas Aparin, Kadesh Shay Azza. Then we say that if you don't have Yein Kafritin, then you use Chamar Chivar Yanatik, strong, old white wine. Then we continue Melach Dermis
Yoga. Like vinegar?
Hamar means wine. Hamar Chivarya means white wine, Afik the pole. Then we say Melach Dermis Yoga. Tosfos in Christus explains that those two things are continuing from each other. What it means is like this. Normally, what do we do? Normally, how do we clean the Bodas? How do we clean the Sipoda? And usually we clean it with Bodas Kashina. With the Bodas Kashina and with the Yen Kafrit. Bodas Kashina is a type of lye. It's a type of plant material. We'll learn about it in Christmas, that's the sham. But anyway, the point is, then you use Yen Kafrit, then you use wine of Kafrit. Now, Tosfos in Christmas says like this. What we mean when we say this Braisa is, if there's no Yen Kafrit, then you use Chamar Chivar Yanatik, but then you also use Melach Zoymet. So not that Melach Zoymet is necessarily an ingredient of the Torah, it only goes with the Chamar Chivar Yanatik if you don't have Yen Kafrit. Therefore, not necessarily is salt part of the Torah. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, you don't need any at all, not as part of the ingredients and not before it's offered. According to the Chachamim, you would need to salt it before you offer it. Okay, so now let's continue. The Gemara says, okay, fine. So we've established then, according to all opinions, the blood that's sprinkled on the Mizbeach does not need to be salted first. According to the Chachamim, we're Mamayit from Minchas. According to the Chachamim and Rebbe, we're Mamayit from Minchascha. And according to Rebbe Shmuel, Ben Osher, Rebbe Yechon, Ben Breka, we're Mamayit because it's not similar to a Mincha because it doesn't go on the fire. So now we have to deal with another angle on it. Ela Taima Demase Krol Adam. So what are we saying? Only because we have a specific miut in the pasuk that the blood doesn't have to be salted, do we say that it doesn't need to be salted? Holav Hachi. So you're telling me if it weren't for that miut, have Amin Adam Liboy Melach, then what are you going to tell me? You would think that the blood has to be salted before you sprinkle it on the Mizbeach.
Like
no, nobody holds like that. No. We said Eitzim that he holds me. We're talking about Dam, yeah. The problem with that is that we're saying like this. Everybody is agreeing there's some kind of miut in the pasuk that blood of a korban does not need to be salted before you sprinkle on the Mizbeach. Implying if there was no such miut, then you would have to. The problem with that is, given the malche nafik le mitaras dam, once you salt blood, it's not really considered blood anymore. The Amr Z'iri Amr Rav Chanina, as in fact we see that Z'iri says in the name of Rav Chanina, Dam Shabishloi Eina Over Olav, if blood is cooked, then a person is not over on it.
Only, so actually, one second,
we're going to talk. Hold on. And the Rav Yehuda Amr Z'iri Dam Shemolchai Eina Over Olav, Rav Yehuda says in the name of Z'iri that also blood that's salted, you're not over on it. In other words, there's no Chiyuv Kares for eating it, because the chiyuv karet for eating blood is only blood that's roi lekapara, only blood that's capable of being sprinkled on a mizbeach. Once it's cooked, or once it's salted, Rashi points out, because you have the concept in halacha, maliach hareo kareseach. Once something is salted, then it's considered as if it's boiling hot. We'll learn about that in Cholin, as Hashem, we'll talk about that a lot. But so therefore, so once it's cooked or once it's salted, then a person's not over on it. Now, you're mentioning Drabanan. There's actually a huge machlokas Rishonim on this topic. Do we mean that once it's cooked or once it's salted, a person is only chayiv on it Drabanan? Or do we mean it still is daraisa but there's no chiyuv kares on it? And also, you have the question on top of that, does the halacha end up being like both of these statements? Is it true that do we in fact accept what the Iri is saying about Dam Shabishloi? We're going to be discussing that in a little bit in the Gemara. And you have a number of the Rishonim that learn that we end up rejecting what the Iri says about Dam Shabishloi. Fine, we do accept Dam Shamochai, that the Isser Kares goes away from it, but not necessarily Dam Shabishloi. Bishloi might still be. So you have Machloikas Rishonim on that topic, whether Dam Shabishloi is still a Chiyuv Kares, or whether it is also Daraisa, but just not a Chiyuv Kares, or whether it's only Dirabam. In fact, you have a number of the Rishonim point out that because of this, if you have a Sopik involving it, you have to be Machmer on it, because they say it's pretty close to a thing Daraisa. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, the point is that once blood is salted, then it's not really considered blood anymore. It's not, so therefore, what's the Hava? I mean, even that blood should have to be salted, that we need a mirt in the Pasuk to tell us that not.
Right.
And by the way, Rabbi Yehuda, so far we have what Ze'iri said in the name of Rav Hanina, we had what Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Ze'iri, and now, by the way, we have a third thing in the chain, Rabbi Yehuda Yigeyoma. Rabbi Yehuda says, on his own authority, that another din in this connection, a varim should fall on behalon, if a person takes a varim of the korban and roasts them off the mizbeach, and then brings them up to the mizbeach, ein behem nishrim l'reach nichayach, and he's not fulfilling what the Torah says, that a korban has to be l'reach nichayach, there has to be a fragrance of it, so to speak, to Hashem. No, and even the korban pesach, you roast the korban pesach and you eat it. You don't roast the pieces and then offer them on the mizbeach.
Right.
We're saying that you can't roast the pieces that are to be offered on the mizbeach and then bring them on the mizbeach. They have to be brought raw onto the mizbeach. They have to be brought raw onto the mizbeach and then burned. Yeah, we learned it in Zvach. Anyway, the point is, getting back to, so clearly once blood is salted, it's not considered blood anymore for purposes of halacha, at least as far as the chiyuv kares. Therefore, that means it's not roy to go on the mizbeach. What's the haba? I mean, that blood should have to be salted. That we're saying that we have to exclude it based on the kwal of prophet kwal or based on the word minchaspa. The answer is mao. If it's right. The answer is mao detemim, mishdibim mashul the mitzvah ba'alma. Fine. But if you didn't have the miotim, you would say, okay, you can't salt it heavily because then it won't be considered blood anymore. But maybe you have to put in like a couple of grains of salt just for the mitzvah. Kamash malon. That is the chid if you don't do anything at all. You know?
You say blood.
No. When we say blood that's salted, we don't mean if one drop of blood falls in. We mean a substantial amount of salt.
Salt,
right. We don't mean if a drop of salt falls into it, it's always blood. We mean if a substantial amount of salt gets into it. Like when you salt meat for kashering it, that is the basis, by the way, when we learn in Cholin, Beth Hashem, when we talk about the halakha of kashering meat, we're going to have the concept that once meat is salted, you have, with your, beyond a certain point, any red stuff that comes out of it is mutter. It's called chamar boso, the Gemara calls it over there. It's like the juice of the meat at that point. Even if chemically it's blood, it's not considered blood at that point because it's damashem molech. Because it's right. So,
you see, you get a piece of chicken, raw chicken, and you
want to
cook it.
Not raw. No. He's talking about no. He's right. Sometimes you buy chicken. Sometimes you yeah. Right. That's the point. In other words, so if you're okay. So if you have a large amount of blood, then you have a different problem because the chicken may have been it means the chicken was injured while it's alive, and then you might have a problem whether it's treif or not. But if you just find a small amount of redness in then it means that at that point it's kamar boser. It's called it's like the wine of meat.
Yeah. It's not really red. It's
yeah. Okay. Anyway, the point is, okay, so getting back to the Gemara, the point is, if we didn't have the mi'utim from the pasuk, you would think you have to put like a couple of grains of salt into the blood. It's still considered blood. Then you sprinkle on the zeach, kamash malon, the chiddush. Now, therefore, the pasuk needs to be mi'utim because you don't need to put any salt at all on the blood. Okay. Gufa. So now getting into that topic, like we said, Omer Ze'iri Omer Rav Chanina, Dam Shebishlei Ene Ogolov, we're saying that Ze'iri is saying that in the name of Rav Chanina, that if blood is cooked, then a person is not over on it, he's not chayiv kares for it. The Yosef Rav of Ka'amal Ola Hoshmai, the Rav of one time was sitting and saying over this teaching of Ze'iri, Eitre Abaya, but Abaya says I have a contradiction. It says in Cholin, you have a Mishnah in Cholin, Hikpa es adam va'ochloi. If a person got Hikpa means like he congealed blood. Rashi says like kofu sa'omus, like you say in Oz Yasher, the depths of the sea over there froze. So Hikpa es adam means a squeeze or congeal, like to make a liquid into a solid, solidify. Yeah, that's a good word. Yeah. Hikpa es adam, so if he solidified blood, va'achloi, and then he ate it, osha himcha es achelev, or if he melted down chelev of an animal, v'gomai, and then he swallowed it down, chayev, in either case, he's chayev kares. Even though you would think that's not, if he solidifies blood or melts chelev, yeah, then he's chayev. So therefore, even though you would think it's not considered a normal way of eating or drinking it or whatever, so therefore you see. So now on the face of it, how do you congeal blood, v'pashkos, is by cooking it? So then, as we have a contradiction. The answer is, loikasha, it's not a contradiction. Kan shehikpa ba'ur, kan shehikpa ba'chama. The difference is, did he congeal it by cooking it over a fire, or by exposing it to fire, or did he congeal it by having it hardened in the sun? In other words, he put it out in the sun. We're not talking about when you put it out, no. Because we're not talking about like when you put it out on a 100-degree day and it got cooked by the heat of the sun. We're talking about he put it out on a day when there's a sun, the light and the heat of the sun are enough to dry it out, but not to cook it, per se.
Don't they leave this blood? Doesn't it become hard with
any? Well, if you leave it long enough, yeah, it'll harden, right. But that's what we mean. Hikpa bahama means that he left it out in the sun long enough for it to congeal, for it to solidify, not that it got cooked, it didn't get, put it this way, you know, to put it in modern terms, the proteins in it didn't get denatured by heat, it got solidified, what do you call it, the water in it evaporated. So the difference is, ba'ur lehodar, so if it was cooked, with fire, then it's not going to return to its original state. Even if you put water back into it, it's still not going to become blood again. Bachama hodar, but if you dried it in the sun and then you reconstitute it with some water, then it'll be blood again. So therefore, so that's the difference. So when the Mishnah over there in Cholin says Hikpa es adam va'ochloi, it's talking about when he just dried it in the sun. Ze'iri is talking about when he cooked it over a fire and denatured it. That's different. Okay,
so what's coagulation in all this?
So that's either way, it's coagulating, but that's the point. But the difference is, if it's over fire, means the proteins in it have gotten denatured. Now, even if you reconstitute it with water, it's never going to become like the original state of it again. Therefore, it's not considered blood. You wouldn't be able to sprinkle it on the mizbeach, and therefore, a person's not chayav kares for it. Whereas if you dried it out in the sun, yeah, you could reconstitute it with water. No.
How can you make it blood again?
Because you can mix it with water again. You know what? This isn't the only thing. You have other kinds of.
You cannot make it.
Okay, we're not talking about.
Fine blood.
No, but that you could. You can still reconstitute it. You know what? It's not the only case. You have other kinds of things that it talks about in different places in Shas where they dry out, but then you're still able to reconstitute them with water. Lachdali sharis the Lord Lekumay Shahaya. You have it in connection with Shrotim. You have it in connection with Shifazera. But yeah, you have. Even if it dried out, there's still, as long as it hasn't been exposed to heat, it's still, yeah. Okay. Fine. Okay, so the question is, v'chama nami, fine, but even if it was dried in the sun, lema hoyo v'idchi idchi, shouldn't we say that once it was nidcha, as long as it's hard, as long as you can't sprinkle it on the mizbeach, so once it was pushed off from being kosher for a carbon, it should be pushed off, it can't, even if you reconstitute it, it shouldn't be able to be used for a carbon again. And we know that, the principle of Nidcha, yeah, because we find that Ramani asked Rav Yechanan a similar question, dam shekorash v'ochlein mahu, if blood congeals, and then he ate it, clock congeals, whatever, yeah, v'ochlein, and then he ate it, mahu, what would be the din, and omalei, and Rav Yechanan answers him, hoyo v'nidcha yedocha, once it's pushed off from being able to be used for a carbon, then it's pushed off. Fine, but that is the halacha, in fact. The point is that we do hold a dichui when it comes to non-living things. Yeah, blood can be nincha. So that's the question. In other words, so what are you telling me that there's a difference where the Iri is saying dam shadishle ain't over all of, but on the other hand, you're telling me if it was dried in the sun, since it can be reconstituted, but the fact is, as long as it's dried in the sun, you can't use it for a carbon. Yeah. Ishtik, the Rava was quiet. He couldn't find an answer to that. Amalei, then the Abaya tells him, Dilma Vadai, maybe we can reconcile it as follows. Now, of course, Tabak takes out the word Vadai, because Dilma means maybe, and Vadai means certainly, but okay, whatever. Can B'chatoris HaChitzonis, can B'chatoris HaPnimis. Maybe there's a difference between B'chatoris HaChitzonis, the ones that are where the blood is sprinkled only on the outer Mizeach, versus the Chatzaris HaPnimius, the five Chatzaris HaPnimius, where the blood is sprinkled inside the Heichel. In other words, when we say, well, we're going to see in a second why there should be a difference. When we say that if he dried the blood in the sun and then eat it, he's chayev, that would be regarding the Chatzaris HaChitzonius, so it's still usable for Kapar. When Ziri is saying that if it's cooked or dried or whatever, that he's not over, that would be talking about the Chatzaris HaPnimius. Omar, by those he wouldn't be over, because there it's not usable. Right. Omar, so when Abaya says that, Rava says, oh, Ab Kauchan Milta de Omar of Chista. You reminded me of something that Rav Chista said in this connection. Namely, this is Rava is saying. Rava is saying, Abaya, when you mentioned the differences in Chatoris Chatonius and Chatoris Apnimius, you reminded me of something that Rav Chista says on this subject. Dam Shekoresh Bachatois, when you have blood that dried, that congealed, when it comes to Chatois, Bachatois Chatonius, Shichmukobetta says, V'ochloi, and he ate it, Chayev, he would still be Chayev, because the lokach v'notan amar achmara. Because what does the pasuk say by chatoris hachatzonius? The pasuk just says that the kohen should take from the blood and put it on the mizeach. So even if it's congealed, v'hai ba'alukichu and a sinahu, it's still capable of being taken, it's still being capable of being placed on the mizeach. I mean, the idea is normally what he would do is he'd daub it with his finger on the corner of the mizeach, but it doesn't specifically say that he has to do that. So therefore, as long as he's able to take it from the kavi and put it on the mizeach, then that's enough for it to be considered that it's still valid. So it's not considered nitzah. As opposed to when it comes to chatoris apnimius v'ochloi, on the other hand, if it came to the blood of chatoris apnimius, if he were to do the same thing and then he would eat it, potter. Then he would be potter. Why? Because such blood is not usable for its purpose, because v'tova v'hiza amar achmana. Because the pasuk says he should dip his finger in and he should sprinkle it, and he can't dip it if it's hard. Blood that's congealed is not, you can't dip your finger in and you can't sprinkle it. Therefore, it's nidcha. It only says it's tovol. No, it doesn't say hazav. No, chatoris hachatzonius is not hazav. Chatoris hachatzonius, it's benotan. He puts it on the corners of the mizeach by daubing with his finger.
If it's congealed, how can we put it on?
Because you can't, but the pasuk doesn't say explicitly daubing, it says v'nafan, you should place it. So the normal thing is, yes, he dips his finger in and applies it. But in principle, all you need is the lokach v'nafan. He should be able to take it out of the keli and put it on the mizeach. So fine, he can take out a little bit of the blood from the keli, it's congealed, but he can still flake off a piece of it or whatever and put it on the mizeach, and he'd have accomplished the lokach v'nafan.
After a while, that'll become non-congealed.
Eventually it'll congeal. Eventually it'll harden. Now,
it won't become liquid.
No, well, not unless if you reconstitute it, if you put water in it, usually if you had a korban was shechted too early, they would sit there mixing the blood in order that it doesn't congeal. But here we're saying, with Hatzari Tachsanias, in principle,
they wouldn't have to do that. They could just do the magical reconstitution thing.
Yeah.
But it doesn't exist.
The Rava Didei Omar, now, so that's what Rav Chista says. That's what Rava says in the name of Rav Chista. The Rava Didei Omar, so that means, in other words, so there would be a difference. When it comes to Chatoris HaPnimius, then he would be popular. When it comes to Chatoris HaPnimius, he'd be higher if the blood congealed. Again, if the blood was cooked, that's a whole different thing. Cooked, then it can't be reconstituted, but yeah. But the Rava Didei Omar, Rava himself says differently. No, even with Chatzaris HaPnimius, if he ate the blood after it was congealed, he'd be chayev. Because the parallel kind of thing would be, he'd be chayev when it comes to Chatzaris HaChitzonius. Once we say that it applies to Chatzaris HaChitzonius, then we would say it applies also to Chatzaris HaPnimius. So yeah, we're not going to be make more on one. Now Rashi learns that what it comes out is that Rava disagrees with Ziri. The Eri before was talking about that if blood was cooked, he's not over on it. Rava is apparently disagreeing with that and saying that nevertheless he's chayim. Tosfos learns that not. Tosfos learns that Rava does agree with the Eri about cooked blood. The difference over here that when Rava is talking about the distinction, Pnimius and Chathonius, and Rava is saying there's no distinction, that we're talking about just where it was dried in the sun.
Not when it was cooked.
When it was cooked, then for sure. So that's where we get, this is where we get the beginning of that Achlokas Rishonim about the question, if blood was cooked, does a person over Medaris on it? According to Rashi, that Rava is disagreeing with the Iri, and Rava is later than the Iri, then the halakha of life, a person is chayev even if the blood is cooked. Midarais, then, even the chayev kares. If we learn like Tosfos that Rava agrees with the Iri where it was cooked, then the result would be that a person that chayev on it daraisa for kares, but then the question would be, is he still chayev a daraisa, is there still a lav on it daraisa, or is it only at that point also darabam? So that's where The halacha as brought in Shulchan Aruch is, if I remember correctly, you have all the poskim argue about it, and even you have, for example, the Shtach first held one way and then changed his mind, he writes in the Kodesh HaKesef differently. Lamaisa, I think we say that, I mean, either way, also, let's put it that way. The question is whether it's Chayv Koris or whether it's Chayv Lav is not negated nowadays, because there's no Malchus and there's no Chassas anyway. The question would be if it's Daraisa or Darabanan, but even then, given that it's the Rishonim said, I think the Rashba, for example, says on this, it's so close to a Daraisa that we have to be machmir on a suffix of it. So practically speaking, it comes out that we're going to say it's Osir. You have, in certain cases, fine, we can be makel according to the opinions that say that it's Darabanan. In certain cases, we can be makel in cases of status with it, but yeah. Amar Apapa, so Apapa says, on this basis, if you're telling me that we're saying that what Rava is saying, that once we say that blood that was, once we say that blood of Chatzis Chitzonius to be Chayiv on, then the same thing applies to Chatzis Pnimius, because we're not going to distinguish between one and the other, then that means it applies across the board to any kind of blood. So therefore, dam chamor shekorash, even if it was blood from a donkey, which is b'chlamach, suitable for a carbon, shekarash, if it congealed, v'achla, and a person ate it, chayev, he'd still be chayev karis. Hoyol k'negdoi roi b'chatoris achatonis. Because a parallel kind of thing, blood from a carbon, from a kosher animal that was brought as a carbon, as a chatoris achatonis, we're saying it would be chayev.
But what you apply to a chatoris achatonis?
Would apply even to a non-kosher animal.
Yeah.
So actually, you have a couple of explanations that Achronim give on it. One of them is, the point is, we're saying even a donkey, which even goyim don't eat donkey meat or donkey blood or whatever, it's too repulsive even to them. You would think maybe it's not considered something that's normally eaten. Nevertheless, the person has chayav karis for it. You have an interesting explanation that one of the Mechorshim in the back of the Gemara, Shlomo HaKoyen, brings from his brother, Rabbi Salal. He says maybe the correct girsa over here is not dam chamor, but dam hamor. You were mentioning just before the shiur about mur, one of the ingredients of the Torah, where you have a machlokas rishonim. What is mur? When we say in Shemachar, mur uktiya, what is mur? The Rambam holds, and so do many other rishonim, that mur is in English, it's called musk. It's a dried secretion, it's blood secretion or whatever that comes from a certain kind of deer, the musk deer, where they dry it and they collect it and they use it and it's fragrant and they use it as a spice.
So that leads a number of
achronim to say that when you have something that in and of itself is not kosher, but like blood, but when it's completely dried to the point that's not usable as a food anymore, then it's no longer today. They talk about that becomes negeya as far as other kinds of things like that. They talk about that, for example, as far as gelatin. It used to be that the way that gelatin was made, nowadays, I mean, the processing of it has changed over time, but back in the early 20th century, the standard way of making gelatin was, there came a point during the processing of it where it's completely inedible. And you had posting of that period, or Chaim Ozer is one notable one, who said that therefore gelatin is kosher even if it comes from non-kosher animals. Eventually, later on, because it's based on this idea about Murph. the same way as we say that the blood that this mur is considered is not considered treif anymore, because even though it's blood, it's dried. Right. It's completely inedible anymore. Yeah. So later on, the first you had later achronim argued with Rechaim Ozer on it. In any case, and later on, the ways that they make gelatin changed. So therefore, and eventually, the halacha became accepted that you can't use gelatin from non kosher sources.
The problem is now, as I
part of the problem is that they use hot water in the preparing of it, so that creates certain problems in halacha.
Some young animals where it's still relatively
edible. Yeah, you have all kinds of issues. Yeah. But incidentally, so he says that's the point of it here. When we're saying dam ham mur shakarash, that according to this, we'd be saying that even blood of mur, if it's congealed, nevertheless it would still be also to eat. That's sort of Shlomo
HaKohen brings that. From the bone of a pig, you would tell it.
Well, maybe, but yeah.
That's in a dam chesoinit.
In the zeh chesoinit, well. Well, no, we said before, Robert says there's no distinction. We're saying that even Dam Hamer, or even Dam Hamer, worth mentioning, by the way, in this connection, what's brought in Chassidus in a number of places, according to that explanation of the Rambam, that Mur is the blood of a Chaya, there's the idea that that particular ingredient of the Kurdus therefore represents the idea of a Tafa, that you're taking something which in and of itself ought to be treif, blood from a creature, and you're using it as one of the ingredients of the Tertus, which is offered to Hashem. So it represents the idea of transforming something of Tumma into something of Tertus. It's in the Chutz Torah, it's in many places, including this, yeah. Okay. Onward. Yeah, I think so. Okay. I think so. Okay. Amr of Gidl, Amr Ziri, here's another din. Rav Gidl says in the name of Ziri, another din regarding blood. Dam ben lach ben yavish choyfer. Blood on a person's skin or on a keli, if you need to toivel it, whether it's moist or whether it's dry, it's a chasitza. You have to remove it before you toivel.
Is it someone else's blood?
No, even your own.
Wait, what's the...
This is a new din we're talking about regarding, since we're mentioning blood and we're talking about blood that's congealed, so we're talking about another din regarding blood. That's the point. It's choyfer, whether it's moist or whether it's dry, as far as zila. And Shitim Ukavetus points out also as far as Nesilat Yadayim. Maybe the Gemara says I have a contradiction. A Mishnah in Mikvah says, not a Mishnah actually, it's a Braisa, Hadam, blood, Vahadyoi, and ink, Vahadvash, honey, Vahcholov, and milk, Yuvashin Chotisin, any of those things, if they're dry, then they're a Chotisa, Lachin, Ein, and Chotisin. But if they're moist, they're not a Chotisa, because the water will wash them away. So what are you telling me that blood is a Chotisa if moist? The answer is like Kasha, the difference is the blood beginning to congeal, is it sticky or not? So Rashi describes Sarich as like if you touch it with your finger, then a swing of blood comes along with your finger when you pull it away. Then already that's it. So it's not completely congealed, so it's still sort of liquid, but it's not completely liquid anymore, then it would be choitis even if it's liquid. In other words, we have three stages.
Ruach, which means, or is that...
No, it's not so ruach with a ches, but no, it's a... Shrach means sticky, you're attached, or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah. So therefore, so what it means is, so there, in other words, you have three stages. You have when the blood is completely liquid. Yeah, when it's completely liquid, then the braita is telling us monachasita. When it's semi-liquid, then it's already chotis. And how much more is that? When it's dry, then yeah.
It's still flushed away when it's semi-liquid.
If you flush it away first. But the point is, you can't just assume that you toiveled. You can't just assume that you toiveled and it's good enough. You have to remove it first. Okay. Next, let's continue. The Gemara says, okay, so now we've dealt with the whole issue of what korbanos need salt and what and don't need salt, and what parts of korbanos that is need salt and don't need salt, and we dealt with the side issue over here of how you could salt blood and still be using it on the mizbeach. So far what we said is we have a few different opinions. We have the chachamim who say that everything that goes on the mizbeach needs salt except for blood and esim, and we said actually according to chachamim you don't really need to mention esim because not really a korban anyway. According to Rebbe, only blood. So we said according to Rebbe, we said blood and nesachim, the wine of nesachim, doesn't require salt. And then we said according to Rebbe Shmuel, b'nei shel Rebbe Yechon ben Breka, wine and blood also wood also ketosah. Okay. And then we dealt with the whole issue over here of blood and salt. Okay. So now the next question is, Timlach l'may osa. Now the Pasuk, when it describes this mitzvah, to put salt on a korban, the expression in the Pasuk is, v'chol korban minchotcha b'melach timlach. All of your korbanos, you should salt with salt. So the question is, what is the word timlach adding? So Chiddush on Yichas and Larashva explains the question is not why we need the word timlach. Obviously you need it, because what are you going to say? V'chol korban minchotcha b'melach? That wouldn't make any sense. The question is rather, why doesn't it say timlach b'melach? Why b'melach timlach?
What do you mean?
Obviously, yes. No, but if it just said the whole covenant chaska b'melach, what would that mean? All of your korbanos with salt? Okay, so then the question really is why? No, b'melach, we said before, we're learning that you need the fact that they need to be salted. But the question is, what are we learning from the word timlach? What extra are we learning from the word timlach? So like this, l'cha d'tanya, it's like this, because we learn in a b'raisa, when the pasuk says b'melach, when the pasuk says with salt, yachol tuvoinehu, you would think that Tivainehu. Now, what is Tivainehu? We don't yet know what that is. We're going to deal with in a few lines what the word Tivainehu means. But in any case, you would think that's Tivainehu. Tamavlaima Timlach. Therefore, the pasuk says Timlach, you have to salt it. E Timlach. Now, if it just said that you have to salt it, Yochel B'mei Melach, then you would think you don't need actual, you don't need solid salt. You can use salt water. Tamavlaima B'melach. Therefore, the pasuk says with salt. So you need actual, you need actual grains of salt. You need actual salt crystals, b'melach, but not the salt water, but on the other hand, you don't need tivainehu. What tivainehu means, again, we're going to talk about soon. And when the pasuk continues, v'loy sashvis melach, the pasuk says you should not cause the salt to cease from the korban, kashvis, like shavah, like to cease, to stop. That means, don't stop the salt. What does that mean? Besides the simple meaning that it means that you have to make sure every korban comes with salt. Well, we know that already. Before korban comes from another simon. So it teaches us, hove melach she'ena she'vesa. It means you have to use the kind of salt that never stops. So what does that mean? Rashi explains that it means is, you have to use sea salt, melach doimis, as the ezuz, the melach doimis, namely you have to use melach doimis, that you have available all year round. Winter and summer, you always have the sea, in particular the Dead Sea, is always casting up salt onto its bank. You have it more with the Dead Sea, but you have it also with oceans and whatever, whenever the waves come, you always have it, you're always depositing salt on the seashore. As opposed to what the Gemara is going to call now Melach Isruknis, which is salt that comes from salt mines, that you don't have all year round because you only have some times of the year when they're working the salt mines. Not necessarily. Yeah, I always have salt, but you're not necessarily working them all year round. On the side of it, it brings a couple of other explanations from the Aruch. That another explanation is that Melach Zoymis, you have 7 days a week because again the Dead Sea or the oceans or whatever are constantly casting up salt.
Melach Zoymis is on the Dead Sea.
Yeah, as opposed to Melach Isruknis, where you have the salt mines are not necessarily being worked 24/7 because they don't work them by night. If the workers there are Jews, they're not working on Shabbos. Therefore, in that sense, salt from mines is melach shesheveta. It's salt where it stops. Sometimes it's produced and sometimes it's not. As opposed to melach doimis is always produced. That's the point. You're supposed to use melach doimis. And another explanation.
Ways of producing
That's
salt.
Not the point. The point is, you have two basic ways of getting salt. You get it either from the sea or you get it from salt mines.
So
you still have it.
They had their isca.
They manufacture salt. Either they make it from seawater that they evaporate, or they get it from salt mines. There's no other way of producing salt unless you're going to go react sodium and chlorine and chlorine together in a test tube. And come on, that's not an economical way of producing salt.
It's the most uneconomical way of doing.
Okay, onward. Okay, and then it brings on the side of here another explanation from the Aruch that Melach Zoymis is called She'ena She'vesis because it doesn't dissolve that quickly, as opposed to Melach Isruknis, salt from mines dissolves very quickly. Okay, so those are the various explanations. Yeah, the Ezu Zu Melach Zoymis. So what is the kind of salt that's She'ena She'vesis is Melach Zoymis. However, continues the Braisa, uminayim shein lemotza melach zemis, but how do we know that if you can't find any melach zemis, shemezi melach isteruknis, that then you should bring salt from mine? Chamadloim a kakriv, therefore the Pasuk says, you should offer, meaning kakriv, mikol mokim, meaning not kakriv, kol shiru kakriv, mikol mokim kakriv. It means that you should offer whatever is available, and you should offer no matter what it is, from any place, even from chutzlar. Even if the only place you can get salt from is chutzlar,
right.
You're still
good. Sodium chloride. There you go.
Okay, by the way, the Rambam has a different understanding of kol shehu over here. That we're learning over here that kol shehu means regardless, whether it's domus or it's sirufnis. The Rambam says also kol shehu means any amount. L'chatchila, you're supposed to put a certain amount of salt, as we're going to say soon. But b'di'evet, if you put even one or two grains of salt, then you're yetzer.
Does that apply to when you make...
For a kasher? No. Wait. Okay. Then the bride continues. Okay. Takriv v'asulu b'shabbos, takriv v'asulu b'truma. We also learn from this word takriv that it means you offer salt on the korban even if it's on Shabbos, and even if it's b'truma. Even if the korban is being brought, b'truma. Now, what's the point? Rashi says the point is you should realize the salting of the korban as an avoda, so like any other avoda, it's derech Shabbos and it's derech b'truma. You shouldn't think that maybe it's only a prerequisite of the avoda. You have a
full
it's a full avoda. You have, by the way, a considerable discussion among the Rishonim on the question, still, why would we think you can't do it on Shabbos? What malacha would there be in salting a korban on Shabbos? We know there's a concept in Hilchot Shabbos called Ein Ibud Ba'oichlin. When it comes to food, there's no such thing. There's a malacha of Ma'abid. One of the 39 malachas is Ma'abid, tanning. No, Ma'abid on ice. Ma'abid, tanning. And part of the process of tanning a skin in order to make it into leather involves salting it. However, there's a concept called Ein Ibud Ba'oichlin. This concept of Ma'abid does not apply to food. So what's the chiddush that you can salt the korban on Shabbos? We have a few different explanations. One of them is we're talking about korbanos that aren't eaten. You have korbanos that are burnt on the mizbeach, like korban oila. So you would think that maybe you're not supposed to be salting them on Shabbos.
Right.
You have a couple of others, including one interesting one. The Maharam Rutenberg brings one interesting explanation, which is, what we mean is, and if you don't have salt available in the Beit Mikdash on Shabbos, you can bring it even through the Shulchan Aruch in order to salt the korbanos on Shabbos. That's the thing. Okay.
Then how did you learn
that? That's what he says. That's what it says. When it says Makhilu B'Shabbat, it means even in yes. Okay. Now, getting back to, in the Braisa we started saying, Yochot Tuvu Nehu, Tuvoy Nehu. So the question is, my Tuvoy Nehu? What does that word mean? That we started by saying, you would think that Tuvoy Nehu, and therefore it says Simcha. Amar Rabba Ola, Hachikama, what the Braisa means is like this, Yochot Yitvoy Nehu Ketevin B'Tit. You would think the Braita starts by saying you have to put a lot of salt on it, like the way you put a lot of straw into clay in order to make bricks. You would think the Braita starts by saying you have to put a lot of salt in it, like the amount, like you put a lot of straw, tevin, into clay to make bricks. And therefore the Braita is telling us that no, you don't need that much. In that case, why is the bride saying tivoynehu? It should say yitvoynehu, and therefore the yud would be the prefix, he should, and the top would be part of the shirish, Kevin. Elo, I'm going to buy you, no. What it means is yachu yasenu kibinyan. What the bride means is you would think you have to make it like a building, meaning that you have to put a lot of salt, like one row of salt on top of another row, like you're building brick.
What does it mean so much?
That's the question. The bride because yisbainenu means that it means meloshin tevin. Abaya is saying meloshin binyan, meloshin building. So you would think you have to build like one layer of salt on top of another, yes. Omalei rochi yichachi yivnenu mubayolei. In that case, what's the Tos doing over there? Just say yivnenu.
Yes.
Elo omal rabba yochot tivunehu. So Rava says, no, what it means is, it means tivunehu. Okay, my tivunehu, so what does that mean? Omal ravashi, it means yochot yitin by tam kibina. It means you would think that you have to put salt in it to give a taste like bina. So what does that mean? Rashi just says briefly that it means neisenes tam to bina ba'adam, like bina gives a taste, gives a flavor to a person. You would think that's the amount. Tosfos explains that it means you would think you have to put so much salt that you can't eat it without rinsing it off, like the amount of bina that a person needs. On the side of bina means understanding. On the side of it here, it brings an explanation from the Aruch that Yochol Yitin Beitam Kibina means exactly the other way around. It means maybe you only need to put a tiny amount of salt, just enough to be able to detect, to have bina that there is salt placed on it. And so according to Tosfos' explanation, it would mean the Braita is saying you don't need quite that much, you only need Timlach. According to the Aruch, it's the only way around. You don't need quite that little, you need a little more than that. You need more than that. Talmud Lomar Kimra. There is, by the way, in the Maimer, Veloy Sashkis, in the Kutcha Torah, where it analyzes the whole issue about putting salt on Korbanos, what it means, Vafi Pnimiyat HaTorah, the Alter Rebbe discusses briefly over there, this Gemara over here, about Tevunenu Yisim Beitam Kibina, and the Alter Rebbe explains as follows. Bina over here means the Nefesh HaLekit. What it means is, you would think the Braisa is saying, what is the idea of salting a Korban as the idea of Bittul? There's the idea of Bittul Telekut. You would think the korban representing Nefesh HaBahamis has to have, in order for the proper thing to do is you have to bring it to the level of bittul that the Nefesh HaLekis has, kibina. And that would be very hard to do. Nefesh HaLekis comes from Elikos, the Nefesh HaBahamis is a behemish thing. So therefore we're saying, no, you don't need quite that much timlach. You need to get the Nefesh HaBahamis to feel a sense of bittul, but it doesn't quite have to be to the level of the Nefesh HaLekis. Not so much that you don't need to destroy it, but that's not the avoda that's expected of the average person. Okay, so then the Brai said that Talmud Lomar Kimlach, we said that therefore, to tell us that it doesn't need to be Tivoy Nehu, which again, as Rava and Ravashi are saying, it doesn't have to be Tam Kibina, Talmud Lomar Kimlach, it has to be, you have to salt it. Kate said, who oysa? So what does that mean? How do you do it? Maybe, however, it means you take the limb of the korban, the noisinol of Melach, you put salt on it, then you turn it over, you put salt on the other side, and then you offer it on the Mizeach that way. So it has to be salted on both sides.
How much? Sprinkle with salt.
And Abaye says the same is true as far as when you cash your meat in order to cook it. It has to be salted on both sides. It has to be salted on both sides. You're supposed to, when you cash your meat, you're supposed to spread the salt on it fairly thickly. It doesn't quite have to be convenient, as we're saying over here, but it does have to be fairly thickly. I don't know. I've never cashed meat. There is a girsa that Tosfos brings over here, and many other Rishonim also say, not the chen with gera, but the chen with tzli. That the same thing is true as far as if you're roasting meat. Now, we know that... So that's the thing. When you roast meat, we're going to learn in Cholin, in principle, there's two ways of kashering meat. You salt it, like we're usually familiar with, you salt it and soak it and whatever, or you roast it, and the roasting also gets the blood out. However, according to Tosfos' Girsa over here, what the Gemara is saying is, even if you're going to roast meat, you still have to salt it first on both sides. You don't have to salt it as heavily as you would if you're going to cook it, because the fact is most of the blood is going to be gotten out by the roasting, but nevertheless, you still have to salt it to a certain extent on both sides. So according to that, that's what the Gemara is saying.
Before you roast it.
So I don't know, because not necessarily, because the idea is then you're going to be roasting it, and that's going to cause the blood to come out.
The what?
The roasting process pulls out the blood, right. I believe they say, nowadays, when you have people sometimes who are salt, you know, who can't eat salt because of their health or whatever, I remember from when I learned Tosfos Melicha, that's for smicha. I think I remember that if you have somebody who's in that situation, then b'dieved you're able to rely on the opinion that you don't need salting for tzli at all, and you just roast it without salt. I'm not sure about that, but I think I remember. Yeah. I think I remember such a concept. I'm not sure about it. There is such a lenient opinion. So yeah. Okay. All right. Turn it up on him. Talking more about the salt. Turn it up on him. Melach shal gabeya aver. When the salt is on the aver, which you salted it in order to burn it on the mezeach, moil and boy, me'ila applies to that salt. If a person were to take that salt off the aver and use it, he would be chayav akod me'ila. On the other hand, shal gabeya kevesh, which is really shal mezeach. On the other hand, the salt that's on the ramp of the mezeach, because we're going to say soon that you put salt over there in order to use it for salt in the korbanos, v'shibur roshe shem mezeach, or salt that's on the top of the mezeach, ein moilin bo, then the ilah doesn't apply to it. Because we're not talking about that it was placed there to begin with. Rashi learns, we're talking about if it fell off the aver onto the kevesh or onto the mezeach, then there's no me'ila, because then the mitzvah was already done with it. Now it can't be used, you can't use that same salt to salt another korban.
sword falls on the kevesh without...
No, so if you, in other words, according to Rashi, it would mean if you have a pile of salt on the kevesh to salt the korbanos with,
yeah,
then the ilah would apply to it. You have some achronim will learn not like that, that it means that it means actually the piles of salt over there, that, because the Gemara is going to say later that the chachamim allowed, we're going to say in a few lines, that the chachamim allowed the kohenim to make a certain limited use of the salt in the Beis Mikdash for what they need to eat. Okay. The Amr of Machna, my cross, that Machna says, where's the pasuk where we see this concept, that the salt is considered part of the korban, and therefore Me'ilah would apply to it? The pasuk in Yechezkel, the Kravtam Lifnei Hashem, the pasuk says you should offer these korbanos before Hashem, the Shlichu HaKoyinim Aleihem Melach, the Koyinim should throw salt on the korban, the Halu Oysam Ola Hashem, and they should offer them as an Ola to Hashem, implying that the salt is considered part of the Ola, part of the korban. Therefore Me'ilah would apply to it. So now talking more about the dinim regarding the salt, Tananhos, and we learn in the Mishnah in Shkolim, that the Mishnah mentions over there a number of takonis that were made regarding the seven takonis, that seven tnoim that based in made regarding how things are run in the business. And among them are Alamelach Bala Esim Shuyakonim Na'osim Behem. That's the Beis Din made a tnai regarding the salt and regarding the wood of hektish that the kohenim are allowed to use them. They're allowed to have enough in them without committing the evil. So Amar Shmuel leshanu alal korbanim. Shmuel says that's only talking about the kohenim can use that salt to salt the korbanos that they Rashi learns that it means for the korbanos that they themselves are bringing. In other words, if a kohen, for example, is bringing an oila or a mincha, which we've just been discussing, has to be salted, they don't have to bring salt from their own house. Like a regular Yisrael would, the Chachamim made a takana that the kohenim are allowed to use salt from the Beis Mikdash for that purpose.
Why did they have to make a takana?
Because otherwise, it would apply to it, long to hektish. Avalachila loy. But when it comes to eating, then not. Now, kasak daidach, now we assume, what does it mean, myla korbanim?
Used to make the korban,
but not to eat it. Right. So, kasak daidach, myla korbanim. So the Gemara says, we assume, for purposes of the upcoming question, that when we say the korbanim, that Shmuel was saying they're allowed to use the salt for their korbanim, means limloyach korbanim, means they're allowed to use it, as we just said, to salt their korbanim that they're bringing. But lechol means achilas kodshim, but we're saying they can't use it for eating their portions of the kodshim. So in other words, if a person brings a chatas or an asham or what have you, where the kohenim are going to be eating their portion, we're saying they would not be allowed to use salt from hektish to salt those pieces that they're going to eat. So the question is, why not? Hashtalim loyach odas kodshim yavin, and let's consider, we allow them to use salt from hektish, even for salting the skins of the korbanos, which b'chlal don't go on the mizbeach at all. So they're not even eaten at all. La'achilas kodshim lo yavin, and why shouldn't we give them salt to be able to salt their pieces of the korbanos to be able to eat them? And we know that we give them salt to salt the skins, the tanya, because we learn in a braisa, nimtseifa atoimah, the braisa describes where are the various places where salt was stored in the Beis Mikdash. Nimtseifa atoimah, it comes out as follows. There are three places in the Beis Mikdash where salt was placed. The Lishkat HaMelach, number one is in the Chamber of Salt, which is one of the rooms, in one of the side rooms in the Beis Mikdash. Val Gabe HaKedesh, and on the ramp of the Mizbeach. Over Rosh...
The word on the ramp?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, there was a pile of salt there. Over Rosh Yesh HaMizbeach, and also there was a third pile on top of the Mizbeach. Actually, Tosfos discusses it. So we're going to see. We're going to see in a second what each one of them was used for. But, yeah, on the top of the Mizbeach. Tosfos actually discusses a little bit over here when we mean, are we talking about that these are the places where the various saltings were done, or are we just talking about these are the places where the salt was stored, and maybe the salting itself was done elsewhere? So Tosfos mentions, for example, we're going to say now that one of these things was used for salting the skins of the kodshim, but we have a Mishnah in Midot that implies that they salted the skins in the Lishkat HaParva, which is a different place.
Right.
So that's Tosfos learns over here, that what we mean is over here, we mean this is where they would store the salt. The actual salting would take place... So the according to, we're going to see. No, so we're going to see. But we're saying the Lishkat HaMelach was used for salting the skin.
If it's on the kevesh, people
can't step on all of them. No, they can step around it. The kevesh is wide enough. As a matter of fact, wide enough, yeah, they can have a pile of salt in one place. It was 16 amos wide. As a matter of fact, actually, there's a Gemara someplace else, I don't remember where, that mentions that at certain times they would sprinkle salt on the kevesh in order that the kohenim don't slip when they're walking up. The Gemara ends up talking, they couldn't do it all the time because it would be a chassidah, but there would be certain things that the kohenim have to go up. No, it's not so much winter versus summer, it's certain avodas that the kohenim are doing, which are not really considered an avodah, which therefore they could sprinkle salt there and it wouldn't be a
chassidah. What happened when snow covered the knees down?
Then they would have to somehow manage to get up. I don't know. We did learn in Vachim that the slope of the kevesh of the Mizeach, the main kevesh of the Mizeach, was a little gentler than the slopes of the other. You had a number of different ramps around. You had a couple of side ramps of the Mizeach itself, and you had other ramps in different places. The main ramp of the Mizeach, the slope of it was a little gentler than the other ones because people are walking up it carrying heavy pieces of korbanos and whatever. But also, I guess it helps if it was snowy or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so. Okay, so why do they have three different places of the salt? The Lishkat, the Melach, Shashamoth, and Oris Kodshin. They had salt in the chamber of salt that they would use to salt the skins of the Kodshin. And that's what Tosef is discussing. Does it mean they actually salted them there, or does it mean they stored the salt there, and then they bring it to the Lishkat HaParva when they had skins to salt? Al-Gavia Kevesh, they had salt on the ramp, Shashamoth, and Asevorim, because that's where they would salt the pieces of the Korbanos that eventually are going to be burnt on the Mizeach. And the Rosh Hashanah, and they had a third place where they kept salt on top of the Mizeach, Shoshom Moch and HaKoymes, that's where they would salt the Koymes of the Mincha, the Halavoyna, also the Lavoyna of the Mincha, the HaKtoras, also the HaKtoras. Remember, Rabbi Shmuel ben Asher Rechem and Broker had said that the Toras doesn't need salt, but the Chachamim disagreed with him. So according to the Chachamim, this is where they would salt the Toras. Minchas Koinim, also the Mincha of... actually, Tosfos asked the question, why are they salting the Toras on the top of the Mizeach? Let them just do it on the kevesh. They anyway have to take it to the mizeach inside the eichel. And the answer is, Tosfos says, because the kevesh would be full of blood from the evorim, so therefore they couldn't salt the kodesh over there. It would get dirty from the blood. So therefore they would do it on top of the mizeach. They would do dry things over there.
And then the blood would...
And no, then there's no blood there at all. Then you have, they could do it on a dry area over the mizeach. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's where they would salt the Torahs, or Minchas Koyanim, and the Mincha of a Koyanim, which is completely burned on the Mizeach, or Minchas Koyan Mashiach, or Minchas Nesachim, or Oyla Sa'oif, all those things would be salted on the top of the Mizeach. So the point is, therefore, that we see that they had in the chamber of salt, they had salt set aside for the Koyanim to salt the skins of the Korbanos that are going to them. So in that case, if we allowed them salt for that, why wouldn't we allow them salt for the Korbanos that they're going to eat? Ela Maila Korbanim La'achilas Korbanim. No, what it means for their Korbanos means that we would give them salt for eating the Korbanos. They would be allowed to use salt from Hekdesh for that purpose, for the Korbanos that they were going to eat. Or Maila Achila, what do we mean? That we wouldn't give them salt for eating means Achila de Chulin, means when they're eating Chulin. The question is, Chulin, Pshita, my Bohatam. Well, of course, why would we give them salt from Hekdesh for Chulin? What is Chulin doing over there? Yeah, there is a minion at 9:30, but it's mainly out there. I don't know. If you need a human yonim, then I guess so.
We always stop by 9:30.
Yeah. So, okay. So Rashi says the point is, what is cholin? You can't bring cholin into the azara. So, of course, you're not using salt from hektish for that. Tosfos says that no, actually, you would be allowed to bring cholin into the azara as long as you're not bringing it in for an avodah, Tosfos says. Okay. Anyway, the point is, The answer is Afa Gavda Omamar. Yes, but the Chiddush is like this. Even though we learn in a Braisa, Yoichlu, that when the Pasuk says the Kohenim should eat the Korbanos, means she Yoichlu ima Cholin or Truma, means that the Kohenim should be eating along with the Korban, they should be eating Cholin or Truma, Kadei Shetei Nechelot Alasoiva, in order that way when they eat the Korban, they'll be eating when they're almost full. Well, we do that by the Korban Pesach, but also we do that by the Korban Pesach. That's why we need to have a Korban at the end. But other Korbanos, you're also supposed to do it that way, because you're not supposed to eat the Korban like I'm hungry, I'm eating it because I'm hungry. You're supposed to eat it like Dula. So therefore, you would think that therefore it's important. There should be Cholin over there. Nevertheless, we're saying we're not going to give them salt from Kodshim for that purpose. The meat, the chulin that they're going to eat as a preparation for eating Kodshim, they have to supply their own salt. But the Kodshim that they're going to be eating, yes, they can use salt from Hekdesh. According to Rashi, they couldn't eat the chulin in the Azara. So according to Rashi, it would mean they'd have to eat the chulin outside the Azara and then come in. According to Tosfos, they could bring the chulin in as long as they're not doing an avodah. Yeah.